Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Just one verse this morning as we continue in our study on the commandments, the Ten Commandments. This is the third. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. God's Word says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name." Let's pray. Our Father, we seek to understand more about Your Word, more about Your person, more about what You would have us to be and to do. Teach us, we pray, by Your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, how many of you remember Jim Croce? Yeah. Jim Croce, who made familiar in the American vocabulary the junkyard dog. But he also had one of his most popular works was "I've Got a Name." In that song, he made the plea that he be known by his name. I got a name. And it's important that I've got a name. I'm not "Hey, You." And a lot of people sort of could identify with that thought. What's in a name? Well, evidently there's quite a lot of importance in a name. Just the other day I was on the phone with the phone company, and the woman asked me, "Give me your name." I said, "Okay, Kurt, C-U-R-T. Lovelace, L-O-V-E-L-A-C-E. So she said, "Okay, Kurt, K-U-R-T. Happens often. I spell it for them, and they spell it wrong. Now, that's a minor annoyance. Actually, I find it quite humorous. But some people get upset over the misuse, mispronunciation, or forgetting of their name. Some names are important enough to people that they'll go to court to get them changed. A few years back, a fellow in Quincy, Mass., went to court and got his name legally changed to Uncle Sam. And he probably is the guy that you see on television at football games and things like that. For him, it was, I don't know if it was mostly patriotic or patriotic with a little commercial in there, but his official legal name is Uncle Sam. Sometimes companies go to court because someone else has named their company something that's too close to theirs. Trademark infringement, they call it. That big computer monolith that we all know about has gone to court many times when others have used names that are too close to theirs or too close to some of their products. Sometimes names become synonymous with things that are bad or evil. We hear the name Idi Amin, for instance. You don't think of things that are pleasant. When someone is compared to Adolf Hitler or called Hitler, as, by the way, both presidential candidates in the recent election were called by their opponents at one time or another, you know that that's not a compliment. That name is synonymous with evil. It's not so much the case today, but some of you older folks will remember the insult calling someone a Quisling. You see, Quisling was a Norwegian who was a Nazi collaborator. And for decades, his name was synonymous with those who are weak and cowardly and who collaborate with the enemy. His name was used as a profanity. Now, Quisling deserved the negative thoughts that were attached to his name. But not everything that is used as profanity, as a curse, deserves that. And as we look at God's name this morning, we will see that even good things are sometimes used in a profane manner, a dirty manner, a low, base, evil manner. There's little today that's viewed as holy. Yet God's name, which is often used in profanity, is intended to be holy. The name itself is intended to be holy. It's to be revered as the name of the one who holds healing in his hands. Christians especially need to be consistent in applying the use of God's name to appropriate circumstances. Now let's look this morning at three things that we should know about God's name. Three things that we should know about God's name. First, we should know that His name is holy. Secondly, we should recognize that His name is often misappropriated. And third, we should know that His name is intended to be spoken. First, His name is holy. Most of us do have at least some sensitivity about our names. We may not get terribly upset, but we don't like it when people mispronounce them, misspell them, or make fun of them. As I already mentioned, sometimes people change their names just because they don't like what the names that their family gave them. Some of you will remember Lou Alcindor. That's what his name was when he played basketball for UCLA. But he went to court and got his name legally changed to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You may remember the Louisville Mouth, Cassius Clay. Brilliant young light heavyweight in the Olympics. And now he's known by Muhammad Ali. Some of you remember another NBA player by the name of Lloyd B. Free. He went to court and got his name changed to World B. Free. I didn't change my name, but I don't use the first name that my family gave me. My first name is James. There were so many Jameses in our blended families when Sandra and I were first married that every time someone said, "Hey, Jim," nobody knew exactly. That was one of the reasons that I started using my middle name. So there are reasons that people change their names or use different names. But you know, God's name is more important than any of ours, except for the fact that our names, if we are in Him, are written in His book. That's the important place for them. But His name is more than just what we call Him. It's the epitome of His character. It's the essence of who He is. Who and what is that? Well, a couple of things about that. First of all, He is. That's all. He is. Let me refer you to Exodus chapter 3, just back a few chapters here. Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, we read this. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to Israel, to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now this idea that God said, I am who I am, is confusing to some people, but it really shouldn't be. It's as simple as can be. He's saying, my name is who I am, and I am who my name is. I am. And that's what you may call me, and that's what you should know about me. I am. Not I have come into being. I am. I always was. I always will be. I'm in a state of amness, if you will. But it teaches us who God is. You know, sometimes, especially in ancient days, children weren't named immediately. They weren't named until you started to get an idea of what their personality was. Our younger daughter was named Sarah when she was born. Almost nobody knows that. Because immediately her personality came out. We started calling her Sunny. And to this day, she is known by everybody who knows her as Sunny. I doubt that there are many people in her circle of friends today who know what her real first name is. It reflected who she was, what her personality was, and that's what's going on with God when He says, I am. He is. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and last. He is the beginning and the end. He is the ever-present God, Creator, Sustainer. He is the Holy One of Israel. His name is holy because He is. Second thing to know about His name being holy is He is approachable. He's not a God far off somewhere that we can't come before in prayer. He has told us to come before Him in prayer. He has told us to call upon His name. Sometime after the writing down of the Old Testament, the people of Israel began a practice of never pronouncing God's name because it was too holy. When reading Scripture, when they came to the name Yahweh, instead they pronounced Adonai. Yahweh means God. Adonai means Lord. And they could pronounce that. This was probably a good idea in the beginning. They were being careful not to misuse the name of God. But like many things that start out as a good idea, after a while it simply became superstition. It's still practiced in some parts of Judaism today. And it is just that, superstition. It is not a care for the holiness of the name of God. But nowhere in God's Word are we forbidden to speak His name. In a sense, we all need to understand that we need to be careful with it. And we need to understand that it's better not to speak God's name than to speak it in vain, or as the commandment says, to misuse it. But God is not a God who will hold us at arm's length and make sure that we never approach Him or speak to Him or use His name. That's why we're told in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. We are to approach him. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to think of him as our Father. He wants us to do so reverently. So there's our first point this morning. His name is holy. Second, his name is often misappropriated. What does it mean to misappropriate something? Well, it means to take it and to use it for the wrong purpose. For instance, stealing is misappropriating. You take something that is for the purpose of someone else and you use it for your purposes. That's misappropriating or misusing. How do we misuse the name of God? Well, to quote Elizabeth Barrett Browning, let me count the ways. There are many. Mankind has a definite streak of genius when it comes to abusing even the most beneficial of things. How many times does a wife beater exclaim, "Oh, but I love her," yet the abuse continues until she finally gets enough and leaves, or he kills her? But he keeps protesting, "But I love her. I love her." So it is with our relationship with God. We claim to love him, and yet we abuse, misuse, misappropriate, profane his name. Let's take a look at some of the ways in which we do this. First, the obvious one. Cursing. Swearing. This is using God's name as a profanity. You bang your thumb with the hammer. And you yell out Christ's holy name. So what does that mean? Are you blessing his holy name because of the pain? Are you crying out in thankfulness because you didn't tear the thumb off? Most likely, in your pain and frustration, you're cursing God by the very use of his name in that situation. And you know, it's not much better when instead we say, "Geez," or other things like that, which are just abbreviations, shorthand. What's happening is that we're using God's name as a profanity. We're making it into something negative and ugly, and that is forbidden behavior for Christians. Second, false swearing. This is professing his name and not living up to that profession. It has many different faces, like Sunday worship, Monday business as usual. That's you misusing God's name. We come to church and we sing his praises and we adore his holy name. And then Monday morning we go out and cheat people, we lie to people, we steal from the boss. It was only 15 minutes different on the time card from what I actually did. This after being in church on Sunday and praising his holy name. And then there's unbelieving prayer. There are several common instances of this. There are, of course, foxhole conversions, some of which are genuine, but for the most part, they're not. You know how this works. You get yourself into a bad situation. You cause yourself a problem with the car. Or in your sinfulness, you cheat on your spouse. And you say to God, "Oh God, get me out of this one." And you make promises. "God, you get me out of this one and I'll go to church. I'll be there every time the doors open. I'll even tithe." And then God gets you out of it. And you may go to church a week, maybe even a month. The tithe, well, that's stretching it a bit. And you don't keep the vow that you made That is misusing, misappropriating, abusing, profaning God's name. And then there's magic. Sometimes we take God's name, we treat God like the genie in the bottle or like the amulet that's going to protect us from evil. Like a shield. And we say, oh God, protect me. And we expect that just because we throw up that name, though we don't have any great belief in Him, we don't follow Him, it's going to be like that cross that we see in the movies. You hold the cross up to the vampire, and he explodes, melts, goes away, or becomes the milkman or something. But he's not that harmful, mean old vampire anymore, because you held up that crucifix. That's what we're doing when we use God and say, God, protect me. God will protect me. Or we wear jewelry with crosses. It's just magic and it's a misappropriation. And then there's justifying sinful behavior by misusing His word. This is proof texting. Abortion, homosexuality, greed, divorce. We go and we find a verse that we take out of context in the Bible and we say, look, this proves that it's okay to have an abortion. Look, this proves that God really wants me to be able to cheat on my wife because He wants me to be happy so I can have fun. But it's wrong, it's forbidden, it's profane. And that's just under the category of false swearing. Then we have idol use. Idol, I-D-L-E, not I-D-O-L. Use of God's Word. Text messaging has become a language all its own. When someone texts O-T-O-H, it means on the other hand. B-T-W, you taking notes, Chuck? Okay. B-T-W means by the way. Another common shorthand is OMG. Oh my God. We also hear this from people often in all sorts of situations. They just blurt out in the middle of something, oh my God. But we might ask them, what does God have to do with this? Jenny ditched Bobby. Oh my God. What's He got to do with it? What does God's name have to do with that? This is a misuse of God's holy name. A cheapening of it. When you hear people say this, you might respond to them, is He really your God? And then, quickly, just one more category under these misappropriations, and that's just plain lying. There's a lot of that going around, isn't there? It's hard to know who to trust because some people are lying. You know they're lying just because their lips are moving. Some people lie even when it doesn't gain them anything because it's the way they're accustomed to speaking. And they say, as God is my judge. Well, when they start saying that, you know that probably the next thing that's coming out of their mouth is a lie because they don't need to be calling upon God as their judge that they're telling the truth if they are normally truth tellers. That's what Jesus said. Matthew 5, verses 33 to 37. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. Jesus says, again, you have heard that it was said to people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Okay, so far we've got an instruction. Now listen to the rest of this. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Let your yes be yes and your no, no is not just a nice bumper sticker or poster for your wall. God says anything else is evil. And if you swear by His name, it's a misappropriation of His holy name. It's a profaning of His holy person. Okay, so God's name is holy, but God's name is often misappropriated. Third thing that we want to look at this morning is His name needs to be spoken. Back to Exodus chapter 20. It says in verse 7, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name." This speaks of misuse, misappropriation, profaning, cheapening, dirtying. It doesn't speak of proper use. It doesn't say, don't ever use my name properly. It doesn't say, don't ever use my name. It says, don't misuse it. So what constitutes proper use of God's name? What's proper speaking of His name? Well, speaking God's name, first of all, for ourselves is proper. Speaking God's name for ourselves. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah chapter 12, from which Henry read, or all of which Henry read for us this morning. Isaiah chapter 12. Picking up at verse 4, we read this. "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." Now, I spent a lot of time telling you about the misappropriations, the misuse, the things that we're not supposed to do. But, brothers and sisters, this is the positive end of that scale. We are supposed to use God's Word, and we're supposed to use it both for ourselves and for others. Call upon His name, it says. What does that word exalted mean? It's not a word we use often, except when we come to Advent and we sing Christmas carols that have the word in it. To exalt is to put on high, to lift on high, to put above. His name is to be exalted, to put up there, to be put high, to be put on a pedestal. We often talk in negative terms about putting things on pedestals. Oh, you put your kids on a pedestal. You put your wife on a pedestal. And sometimes that's bad, if we're turning them into idols. But God is no mere idol. God is God. God is I am. God is. He is to be exalted. His name is to be exalted. Call upon His name. Call upon the Holy One of Israel, for He is the one from whom comes salvation, and there is no other. We are to sing His name, sing His praise. When we do, it sounds a lot different than the common uses of God's name, even some of them sometimes heard in pulpits, as we all heard sometime this year during the political campaign. We are also supposed to speak God's name for others. Still in Isaiah chapter 12, proclaim that His name exalted, it says in verse 4, the end of verse 4, and sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Let the world know. Speak His name among the people with whom you spend time each day. Doesn't mean you need to bring them tracts. Doesn't mean that you have to have a 3-point sermon ready for them every day. But sprinkle your speech with His name. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Bring His name before others in a clean, proper, reverential, exalting manner. Let it be known that you praise His holy name. And then live up to it. Yeah, you're a sinner. Me too. But we need to make the effort to live up to His holy name and then come to Him in confession when we don't live up to it. Let it be known that others can come to Him for healing. For He is the Holy One of Israel. He is. It's appropriate for us to spend time reading about this subject, God's name. It's a good devotional study. Try this. Take a concordance. Look up all the references to God's name. In fact, His many names. Boy, He has many. Look them up, read them, meditate upon them. Write them down, write a poem about them, write a song about them. You will find healing here. Check your own speech. Sometimes we pick up speech patterns without even being aware of it. Is God's name revered in your daily speech? Do you make it a point to mention His name for His glory? Think about it. Resolve with the Apostle Paul to speak to people of Christ and Him crucified. Brothers and sisters, the Ten Commandments get a bad rep because people see them as the thou shalt nots. And this does say, don't go around misusing my name because you pay. It's true. But recognize that God wants us to use His name. He wants us to use it in the proper manner. He wants us to call ourselves by His name. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise Your holy name. And we ask Your blessings upon this, a gathering of Your people, called in Your name and called by Your name. We pray that if there be any here yet in this room who have not called upon Your name for so great a salvation as that which You have offered through Jesus Christ, that this be the day of their salvation. We ask that You bless them with understanding by Your Holy Spirit, that You grant them faith by Your Spirit. And we do pray that You teach us all to live more like followers of You. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.